Welcome to yet another episode of Taking the Rams by the Horns, brought to you by Sowetan Live. My name is Rams Mabote. In this weekly podcast, we bring you news analysis that will not leave you in paralysis. Thank you to those of you who have subscribed. Thank you for subscribing. And if you haven't as yet, please do. You won't regret it. I promise you. South Africa is alive with possibilities. I mean, who would have imagined a former president in jail, a sitting president sleeping on cash, literally, a cabinet minister visiting a common prisoner in jail, or even the post office operating even when they have nothing to do?
Can you confirm that delivery performance has dropped?
Welcome to the new Sowetan Live podcast called Taking the Rams by the Horns with me, Rams Mabote. Each week, I will be taking a lighter look at very serious topics that half the time drive you up the wall. This podcast will use humor to take no prisoners, have no holy cows, and cook a whole lot of sacrificial lambs. Sometimes the seat of power can humble you. I mean, one minute you are whining and dining the world royalty, and the next minute you're on the ground with your poor and angry supporters who could not give a hoot about your world travels. Take this example, for instance, straight from his glitzy showstopper at the Buckingham Palace, President Cyril Ramaphosa walked into a pothole, literally and figuratively. As part of his party's program known as Letsema, Ramaphosa was sent by the African National Congress to the far-flung village of Ditsobotla in Itsoseng in the Northwest Province. If you know it as well as I do, you will know that the locals pronounce it Ditsobotla. The president had arrived from London, where he met the rich and famous, was hosted in the gold-plated scene of colonial crime, spent some time with the latest British Prime Minister at Downing Street, which is almost as porous as our borders here at home, and he flew in the luxury of the presidential jet called Inkwazi. What does his party do just a day after his return? Well, they send the president to a town in a province known as the pothole capital of South Africa. To be honest, there is a bit of road on the potholes of Ditsobotla. The complaints about the potholes in this town are legendary. It does not get more ironic than that. Word has it that the local and provincial politicians avoid going to that part of town because many a car that ventured to go in had to be towed out to safety. But at least you gotta give it to the ANC government for allowing the town to live up to its name. After all, Ditsobotla is a Setswana word that means noisy footfalls in the mud. In the recent rains, not only feet but tires too are heard making noisy falls in the mud of the potholes of Ditsobotla. The irony does not end there. Ditsobotla is part of Itsoseng, which itself means lift yourselves up. Yes, I'm not lying. That's what it means. And I know we cannot blame the ANC for that name. It was the National Party's tasteless humor to name black townships and villages with names like Jabulani, Tembisa, Pumulong, and Ikageng, where there was no joy, promise, peace, or self-development. Not to be outshone by the National Party, though, for the past 28 years, the ANC government has all but left the residents of Itsoseng to lift themselves up from the noisy footfalls of Ditsobotla. But the residents have lost hope.
And also the street lights, all of them, they are not working. Because of Ratsaba, Holy Fifi. Arena Motagasi. Bari Dudi Sadi Kwedile Mata, Teresa Motagasi, Okadula 24 hours Usaji, Osakunuha Pai, because of Hakona Motagasi, the four gets a Dula Dinanimate, right through Apulan and Lebanon by the Kulu. The transporter, the ambulance, the Hono Zanakan Tangore, Kahona, Tlahaya Bankanera, Idula et Simizikanako.
But true to his nature, Ramaphosa would not hear any of their complaints. In song and dance, and with a wide-brimmed grin, he reassured the residents that his government will solve this problem. He promised them that the ANC will fix Dijobotla. He went further to ask for another chance for the ANC, reminding the residents that no other party could govern this country, adding that other parties have nothing to offer.
Dijobotla will have a municipality that is fit for purpose, that is going to serve the people of this area properly, that is going to pay attention to the issues of water, to the issues of potholes in the city, service delivery, which you were talking about, Mr. Chris Breed. And you were absolutely right, absolutely right. It should pain the people of this area. And indeed, it's not only here, it's throughout the country. The Auditor General has been talking about the state of our municipalities. And I've articulated it on a number of times. Our realization has now been heightened, and we've decided that we are going to take action, and through legislative amendments, and we're going to be professionalizing the civil service so that we get people who are fit for purpose.
And here's another irony. Only recently, in that part of the world, there were two ANC administrations, two mayors, two chief whips, two speakers and caucuses. The ANC was eating twice while the community was sinking once in the potholes. While Dijobotla was plunging into oblivion, the ANC was fighting for the remaining tar on the road. It appears, though, that there are residents that are refusing to be fooled again.
Nothing going to change because they have been 8 years here. If you, according to our history here from Mudibe side, this side from Fanta, you are no service delivery.
To me, though, what is curious is why the ANC would choose Dijobotla to send their president during an election season. I mean, that, you don't want to do that when things are bad, right? It had to be a hard sell even for the president. It is either that they wanted to embarrass him, or they knew that more than anyone else in him, they have a president who makes false promises in all official languages. By a show of hands, does the name Noma India Mfeketo ring a bell to you? Well, you're not alone. Nobody knows at the top of their heads that Miss Mfeketo is South Africa's ambassador to the United States of America. Yes, the USA. I would not blame you if you do not know who Your Excellency Mfeketo is. After all, it is the Americans who are supposed to know her, as she has the unenviable task of selling our country to the USA. It does not get harder than that. But you should not be ashamed of yourself not to remember this esteemed comrade who has served as Minister of Human Settlements, Deputy Minister of International Relations and Cooperation, Speaker of the National Assembly, among many distinguished roles of her illustrious career. Damn it, Your Excellency also served as the last ANC mayor of Cape Town before losing the city twice to the Democratic Alliance in 2000 and later in 2006. The ANC in Cape Town has never been the same since. Spare a thought for yourself, though. Even that untrustworthy source called Wikipedia is not aware that Ms. Mfeketo holds the responsibility of representing us in Washington. That has gone unnoticed to them. Until the past weekend, that is. So, City Press newspaper broke a story which, if I did not know better, would be sure that it belongs in the bookshelves of fairy tales at best, or in the manuscripts of those badly written stories and dramas of the SABC of the 1980s, like Lesilo Rula.
Lesilo. Awangutwa. Why is he? Re diretse Stella le khosi molemo pasiana fela ke tshongwa ke khwanya penyaga yo
According to the newspaper, a domestic worker for the SA ambassador to the US makes shocking claims of witchcraft and poisoning. I'm going to repeat that. Witchcraft and poisoning. Apparently, Millet Nomsa Medina Delgado filed a complaint to the Department of International Relations and Cooperation against Mfeketo and her son, Bonele, in which she accuses them of trying to kill her. Medina Delgado wrote, and I quote, "The ambassador and her son, Bonele Mfeketo, have tried everything to kill. Witchcraft, poisoning me. Worse, paying people to kill me, but God said not with my own," close quote. Later, she claims that this is where it gets, by the way, very juicy. You must listen to this very carefully. That one night, around 2 a.m., she saw chemicals, which means white in color. When she went to the bathroom to find the mop, she saw the ambassador walking in the dark barefooted, going straight into her room. And she says, "Into my room," I quote her. The ambassador, according to Ms. Medina Delgado, said, quote, "She was looking for someone." This is 2 a.m. This is in the house of the ambassador, guys. Let's get one thing clear. These are untested allegations. And as most of us would know, it is hard to test and prove allegations of witchcraft. In no way suggesting a defense for Ms. Mfeketo, but white powder can be so many things, especially in America. In spite of their noise, we know Americans remain one of the most drug-infested countries. So white powder could be anything from icing sugar to cocaine, right? But we should also remember that in her admission, Miss Medina Delgado is responsible for doing laundry for Your Excellency. So this white powder could very well be washing powder, no? I mean, not all washing powder that is discovered at 2 a.m. is suspicious, right? We can still see washing powder at 2. I think I've seen it before. But I can imagine how our American friends have received the news. What sort of headlines do you think they'll be running this week? Out of Africa? Darkest Africa? The witch? I mean, I'm trying to imagine. Wow. Well, in the meantime, we have to see how the effective and aggressive FBI, with the help of the CIA, find. We know the latter may suspect anthrax, in which case they may blacklist us as a country. You cannot put that past our paranoid friends. You cannot. It is hard to be black and from Africa in the US. The last thing we need is to be in the news for allegations of witchcraft. I honestly feel sorry for Your Excellency Mfeketo. She could just be fair game for those acerbic stand-up comedians. You know those guys, right? Once they pick up this story, she is script. In the unlikely event that she is right, it would seem that Miss Medina Delgado is already cursed. She will be on her way back home soon. And it won't be on a broomstick, I think. About 6 years ago, I visited the one horse town of Welkom in the Free State, and I came back cursing traffic circles. Okay, my bad, Welkom is a three-horse town, but that's beside the point. I have never seen a town with so many traffic circles. To enter a traffic circle, you have to exit another, and vice versa. I reckon there are more traffic circles in Welkom than there are clean politicians in that part of the world. It was for that reason that my eyebrows were raised when one day I read about something called the Rivonia Circle. I was like, not again. I tried hard to jog my memory about any traffic circle in the suburb of Rivonia, north of Johannesburg, and nothing significant came to mind. I remembered one or two, but I could not even remember where they led to. Who the hell then was Rivonia Circle, I asked myself. Quickly, I discovered that the convener and one of the founders, Song Ezozibi, was someone I knew fairly well, and one I could easily claim to call a friend without being accused of name dropping. He also happens to be a former editor in this group where I work. I still could not make out what they are. Are they a political party, a political movement, or just a circle taking us on a political merry-go-round?
Today we are here to have a conversation about the kind of South Africa that we want, which we call South Africa 2.0. This is a follow-up to a gathering we had on the 8th of October in Bramfontein at the Pactonian with Nse Ufo from the New Georgia Project about electoral participation, about civic engagement and so on. Today we are here to talk about the way forward, talk about the solutions we want to develop to the problems that South Africans are encountering, so that we can mobilize around those solutions and make sure that by the time we get to 2024, we have a people's manifesto. The call to action is that South Africans and South Africa must rise. We must rise to the challenges of our time. We must rise to the challenge of creating solutions for South Africa's problems. We must rise to the challenge of finding leaders in our circles, in our communities, in our families, so that they can lead us in finding these solutions and making sure they're implemented.
I decided to invite Songezo to join me today to explain.
The merry-go-round is a bit more fun, by the way.
Well, you know, before you even go ahead, let me explain further. You see, part of my confusion came from the fact that these fellows, most of whom are middle-class, highly educated, and very influential in their own right, claim that they are not forming a political party, and Songezo says emphatically he's not putting his name in the hat to run against Zweli Mkhize in 2024. This left me with some digital vibes. So I had to ask Commissar, and that's what I call him. That's what we call each other. How's it, mate?
I'm good, Commissar. I'm really, really good. Listen, the merry-go-round in Welkom is a bit more fun than politics. I've been to Welkom.
Have you been to Welkom?
I've been to Welkom.
Have you seen those circles?
Like, can I tell you a story?
You can run out of fuel while doing the circles.
Can I tell you a story? Yeah. So I go to Welkom for motor racing some years ago.
Yeah.
So I'm driving a Golf. I used to work for Volkswagen.
Yes.
So
I used to work for Volkswagen.
Yeah, yeah. So I used to get all the latest shiny cars. I've got a shiny red Golf GTI. And I see a guy that's got EC number plates. You know. So the guy says, "Hey, what's up, Makai?" So I said to him, yeah. So we asked, "Where are you from?" "What's it do? You know, what's it do?" I tell him. So he says, "Oh, so Zotina, so deliverish."
Wow.
And I was like, yeah. No.
Of course, you don't. I mean, you would have to explain if it's more. You stay with the delivery thing.
Not deliverish.
But then you know, if things don't work out for you, what else you could do? Right?
I could always go back to deliveries. as long as it's in a GTI.
Do they still make them?
They do, apparently, but they're hell of expensive these days.
And they still sell more outside El Dorado Park and other places. Let's get to our point. Where exactly is this circle?
The Rivonia circle is not even in Rivonia, by the way. So I got a WhatsApp last night from Mzwane Lemanyi saying, "I live in Rivonia and I see I was not invited to your thing." At least he was not looking for the circle. Like you don't seem to know where the circle is.
Had no clue.
But there was a lot of thought into what we call ourselves, right?
Yeah.
Because we looked at where the country is. I come from Grandulia, come from a village. In fact, all of us, Luzwokoti was part of us, passed away, right?
May his soul rest in peace. What a gentleman.
We all village boys, you know. And when we started the Rivonia Circle, we thought, what could be inspiring to us, right? To do what we want to do in the right way. And we thought the generation of the Rivonia trial, the Robert Sobukwes. I mean, he might not have been in the Rivonia trial, but
there
was a certain caliber of black people, I will say in particular, who had a sense of responsibility for the whole country. So we decided to take that part. The circle is, we are in Africa, Commissar. In Africa, when there are troubles in the community, we sit down and we discuss what are we going to do.
And we sit in a circle.
We sit in a circle, usually. At least the rondavels where I come from. And you end up in a circle. But we don't have classroom sitting in our communities. It's general, and you stand in the middle. And so that's what we decided to call ourselves. We are not in Rivonia, though. At the time, we were running the organization from either my house or from Doppio or wherever we happened to be sitting. There was no office. There was nothing. It was just an idea.
The plan? To unseat the ANC?
No, you know, when we set out, that was not the plan in the beginning. There was something in particular that frustrated us. And especially for someone like me who's been an editor, right? You, on the one hand, you have a pandemic. You've got people dying. You have load shedding. You've got ground zero in Cape Town. You have high unemployment. You know what I mean? So you got all of these problems. And then there's seemingly everybody's complaining that there's no leadership. There's nobody to solve our problems and so on. And a part of me thought, if a country is a home, if there was a problem in my family, I would get up and try and sort it, right? Mm-hmm. You might not know how exactly to solve the problem, but you're going to call your cousin Rems and call Fix and call somebody and say, guys, hey, there's a problem here. What do we do?
Yeah.
So we intended this to be a platform, hence the circle. You can't really be a circle of four people. So we need to be the place.
In math, literacy does happen.
Listen, I was not good at maths. So you need to bring more people together into the conversation. And we've got a very conversational style in what we mm-hmm. do, right? And we become solutions focused. So if you watch the first video we released, we said, we're going to develop the leaders. We're going to find and develop the leaders wherever they may be. We're going to develop the ideas where people say there are no ideas. These people don't have ideas. These people are not good leaders and all of this stuff. Okay, let us say we all agree. Then what? So what must happen? So we're all going to sit here and say there's no leadership and not do anything about it. So that's what we initially set out to do. If you were to look at that video versus where we ended up this weekend,
yeah,
they're not the same thing. Yeah. They are not the same thing. And that's because we decided to become honest to how the journey goes. And we take it where it went. In the beginning, Rams, I went to Oxford, a school of government,
yeah,
the Blavatnik School of Government. We're talking to Gibbs. We're talking to all of these people. We're going to develop these leaders in a particular way and so on. Rams.
I mean, I even felt at some point that what you guys were trying to do was to create independents who are going to run for office.
That's closer to what Lindiwe Mazibuko at Future Elect is doing. I mean, that's not a specific intention, but you're more likely to get that outcome out of that. What we wanted to do was to get a sense of national purpose out of people. This business of saying the country is going to the dogs, and then what? You put your hands in your pocket and you walk away? Walk away where? You can't.
But I hear you. So we sit in this circle, you know, and hopefully it replaces the 300 traffic circles
in Velcom.
In Velcom. And do what? I mean, yes, we've brainstormed, we've complained, we've said now this is nonsense and we all want to lead, we all want to change. What are we going to do?
There were two major areas. So it was going to be leadership development. It was also going to be public policy development. But the public policy development would come with very careful listening to people. So we're going to do focus groups, we're going to do polling, we're going to do desktop and other research and so on, so that we think about solutions properly. And then we were joined by Tessa Dooms. And she said something they do in the States, I think it's called Circles of Conversation or something. And she said, we can do a similar thing. We call it democracy builder. And she described this thing. And we realized it's a structured listening tool. It's a workshop. It's a civic engagement. It's a listening tool. And you end up with a community project in the end. And it has real benefits. And the people do it themselves. We don't have money, Rams. We don't have money to sponsor.
I was going to get to the money part, but
so people do this on their own, right? And so we added Democracy Builder. And then we realized Democracy Builder is a gold mine because it's now helping us understand people's views about politics and why they don't think politics works for them. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Because the first question is, what are your views about power? What do you think is the purpose of politics? What does it mean to you? People say corruption, mm-hmm. lies, and all of these kind of things. Yeah, yeah. All the negative stuff, right? But in a democracy, whenever a group of people get together, they can have a political conversation. You don't have to belong to a party. Mm-hmm. You can have a political conversation as long as it is about issues that affect everybody else. And you can make political decisions out of that political conversation. And you can do something about those political decisions that you get around and you talk about.
Well, in my past, what we did was to throw stones. And
of
stuff,
course, so. Of course. I mean, there was that. But you also know about Mkhabul. Rhymes, we do Mkhabul.
Of course, that's what you.
This
can
is do. What we do. We do Mkhabul.
Yeah,
rhymes. And as soon as people realize that, hey, we have power to act. That's why one of our hashtags is the power to act.
Yeah.
We have power to act. We can sit and decide what needs to be done in the community. We don't have to wait for a counselor.
Earlier in this podcast, I spoke about a place called Djobotla,
yes,
in the Northwest,
right,
which is the pothole capital of South Africa.
Right.
So if people in Djobotla join the circle, would they have to talk about the potholes and solve the potholes themselves?
No. So what we don't do, Rems, is we facilitate these conversations. We don't tell people what to talk about. So it really can be anything. But usually the potholes and things come up anyway, right? Now, in a system such as in a democratic system, you have the agency to do things on your own. You have the agency to do some things on your own, but ask the authorities or other people to help you. And the third part is you can tell the authorities, well, you will fix those potholes. I'm not fixing those potholes. Mm-hmm. You fix them. What I can do is I can also patrol the streets, though. But we need that police van to drive past every 1 hour.
Yeah.
Right. That's a combination. Or you can say there are hungry families in the community. The social grants are not enough. We can't impact that. But there's something we will do as a community together to improve a certain situation. So you've got agency right across. So it's not to say fix the potholes yourself, because how are people going to fix load shedding? You know, they can't.
Mm. Well, so not also, even Eskom can fix it.
Not even Eskom can fix it. So you have to be realistic about what people can fix. What really excites people is the fact that they can actually have a political conversation where nobody is asking you to sign up. You don't have to be a member. We're a non-profit. You can't join us. You can't join us.
But I'm still concerned. To what end? What's going to happen?
No, what's going to happen? So I was still on where we thought we were going to go with this thing. So you're going to conscientize.
So we're still in the traffic circle.
We're still in the traffic circle.
Let's exit and get to where
we're going. You still conscientize people, you develop ideas and that kind of thing. Then we realized out of these conversations that we can actually think about the ideas differently. Because of the way people formulate the things. For instance, you pick it clearly, you come in there, you say, shoot first and ask questions later.
Mm-hmm.
But when people talk about the criminals, they say, oh, these kids, they use nyaupe. The moment somebody says kids, you stop and you say, oh,
yeah,
okay, I can't say shoot first. And now you have a different conversation about a solution, which includes policing all the way to skills training and drug rehab and these kind of things. And then we were like, hey, we're in a much better position now to develop the ideas because they can be multidisciplinary. You don't have to deal with policing only as a policing issue alone. That's when the off-ramps started coming on. Because out of these workshops, Rams, at the end of it, there is a mini NDP that people make for their community. We say, just imagine the South Africa you want.
Yeah.
What should wave
a magic wand.
Yeah, if you had to sit here and this is what you're going to do now. You've done complaining for the last 2 hours. Now we're going to reimagine South Africa and your community. What does it have? How does it work? What is everybody's role in it? You take politics out of the realm of complaining and being depressed into what are the possibilities? That's the NDP part of the process. Now, this is what happens almost every time. People look at their handiwork at 4 and they go, yeah, but these guys will never do this. No, we must do it ourselves.
Yeah.
We must do it ourselves, right? Rams, we've been to 8 provinces now, 37 communities.
I'm keen to know which province has been the unfortunate one.
Northern Cape.
Oh, okay.
So we're going to do them.
Yeah, I can understand.
don't say that. We're going to do Northern Cape, right? But people keep saying that let's just do this ourselves. Let's, you know, they will never do it. We're never going to talk about the elephant in the room, because this is a good plan. And these people, all they know is to come and tell us what they're going to do, and then they don't do it. And people keep talking about a movement, registering independence and so on. Every single conversation, Rams, it comes up. The last thing I want to say, then we're out of the traffic circle, is that people don't talk about the things they talk about are not regarded as political issues by political parties. I was in East London last week. We spent most of the time talking about child pregnancy, child deaths at child mother deaths at delivery, child mortality from out of a child mother's cervical cancer, and this sort of thing. Now, Rems, if that can't be a political issue,
what is?
What is? Right? So we now understood that this is the problem. This is why people are not in the political system, because you come there and you talk about, I don't know, nationalizing a bank or whatever the case is. People think, amen, okay, I hear that, but I've got a problem here. My child is pregnant.
But you ultimately should be telling them not to vote for those that are not
No. Right? So we started off saying that you actually, the whole thing, it evolved to in October this year. We got Nse Ufo from the New Georgia Project in the U.S. She's Nigerian-American. She came here and she said, listen, what you need to do in order for democracy to work is you need to have your own agenda. Don't wait for somebody to tell you what their manifesto is. You need to have your own agenda. And if their agenda doesn't fit yours, you say, sorry, I'm not going with you. I know what I want. Here's my plan. If you're not signing up to my plan, I'm sorry. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
I don't care what you are, right? So then there was a conversation, no, but you can't even vote for independence and so on. Then they said, no, let's start a political movement. This is now in October. Let's start a political movement. And then we're like, whoa, wait. Guys, can we think about this a little bit? Go back to where you came from. Consult lots of people. We'll have another conversation, which was what, this last Saturday. Because you can't be, there were 160 people. Here in Bramfontein, 160 people are not a movement. And so we came to Saturday, this last Saturday, where again they were like, movement building, we want to build a movement.
So are you building a movement?
And then we said, okay, there are 600 people here. 600 people is too few in a country of 60 million people. It's not. So if we want a movement registered to fight an election in 2024, we've got to build one. So that's the job. So we're starting a campaign to build one.
Ah.
Then the question was, so how many people? So I'm there on the stage. The whole thing is on YouTube. So I'm like, so how many signatures do you want to get? Volunteers? 10,000. They were like, no. I was like, 40,000. No, they're going to go and get 1 million. Right?
1 million signatures.
It's a lot. But that's what they've said. They're going to go and get 1 million. So now we're starting a parallel thing to Rivonia Circle, because it was never meant to be a movement in that way. Parallel thing. There must be the Rise campaign. It's about getting people to put up their hands to do community projects. So those 35 community projects we have across the country, basically we now need to amplify that. That's what would make it a movement.
One last question.
It's going to be about something.
I'm out of time. I get it. So this movement is going to happen. It's going to be parallel to the circle. And therefore, you're going to run for president. And before you answer, I want you to, right? I'd like to have a friend who's a president who I can call on when I've got problems. I mean, I'd like be on first name terms with the president. So please tell me you're going to run for president.
Hey, listen, I was speaking to somebody. I said, would you please speak to Imtiaz Suleiman and ask him to run for president, because people will vote for him. Here's what I'm committed to, Commissar, seriously. I mean, I've said in my book that because the culture in South Africa is, I don't want to lead. Yeah. We need to start a different culture of taking responsibility. And me, if I had the opportunity to run for president, I would. We don't have presidential elections yet, but we've got to learn to take responsibility. People have got to say, I want to be a mayor in this town. I want to fix things, right? We've got to do that. Otherwise, what's the point?
I must tell you.
All the people in the ANC who want to lead the ANC say, no, I don't want. But they're going around campaigning and doing TV interviews. What nonsense is that?
You got presidential qualities. I mean, that's a great political answer. But I'm done.
Oh.
There you have it. The Rivonia Circle is a political campaign that
No, the rise campaign.
It seeks to do something, to change things, I think.
Yeah.
And it's up to you to decide whether they're taking us in a circle or they're trying to get us out of a political merry-go-round of the last 28 years. Thanks, Songs.
Thanks, Commissar. Thank you. It was great being with you.
I have lived long enough to witness scary, ridiculous, shocking, and sometimes spellbinding things in my life. I have seen Bafana Bafana go on a celebratory dance after a match, only to discover that they actually had been eliminated from the event. I saw Ashman Rajbanzi, the indomitable small-town politician known as the Bengal Tiger, getting a varam clap across the face when he tried to speak sense to the AWB when the Afrikaner supremacists tried to break up the negotiations at the World Trade Center. I even remember seeing the self-same AWB white bosses begging for mercy the day they were cornered by the Buputatswana Defense Force, who halted their 5 minutes of infamy trying to invade the so-called independent country. But I was not ready for what went down in my township of Dobsonville in Soweto on Sunday. You see, Sundays in the townships are generally boring, reserved mainly for mundane activities like men, women and children walking about drinking their 750-milliliter beers without care or fear. Sometimes they even do this on the doorstep of a police station. Struz Bob. Occasionally, there is a young man in the neighborhood who whips out his 2-meter-tall speakers and blasts the decibels out of the entire neighborhood all afternoon into the evening, sometimes into the wee hours of the morning, Eskom allowing. Then there are men and women in uniform, some to or from church, and others to gatherings known as societies. Remember societies? They were made famous by Brian Molefe, the Eskom Brian Molefe, when he testified at the State Capture Commission, which explains what I saw this weekend as a serious anomaly worthy of a Netflix documentary. First, it was a group of 4 lowlives robbing a neighborhood hardware store at gunpoint. Well and good. After all, crime is South Africa's pastime. The minnows, however, after looting the shop empty and taking thousands worth of takings, we are told, got greedy. As they left the shop, they robbed onlookers and uninvolved pedestrians of their phones and valuables. But it was in that act of all or nothing that someone spotted an unmarked police vehicle and alerted them to the crime. The police officers gave chase, and a shootout ensued between the police and the criminals, leading to the criminals stopping their car and 2 of them fleeing on foot. One of the police officers, who with the help of a security officer in the area, which is quite a coincidence, got out of the police vehicle, accosted the criminals that were still stuck in the car. At that point, a police van also arrived, I'm sure they would have called it, and they helped apprehend the arrested criminals. The 2 original officers who were in the flying squad car then decided to give chase to the fleeing criminals who were on foot by this time. And this is where the Emmy Award-winning drama begins. In a space of minutes, this one officer emptied the magazine of his gun trying to shoot the one fleeing criminal who could not have been 100 meters in front of him. He missed and missed and missed again, all in full view of the residents who were going on about their business as if nothing was happening. Mind you, the police officer, at least to a naked eye, looked fitter and slimmer than the criminal he was chasing. To boot, at some point, the criminal tripped and fell. But still, he managed to get himself up and disappear from the helpless cop. Meanwhile, back at the cops and the apprehended criminals, the police managed to cuff the criminals and put them in the back of their van. But hold on before you rise in rapturous applause. It gets worse. As they did that, the police abandoned the criminal's car. And guess what? The curious and crime-hating members of community who had gathered to witness this crime started helping themselves to the loot from the hardware store that was strewn all over the criminal's car. But that was nothing. Another law-abiding member of the community apparently helped himself to a gun belonging to the criminals and leisurely walked away from the crime scene. No protest from the residents. They were busy helping themselves to padlocks and send papers. Very important things to have in life, you know. But there is an upside, though. The other cop that had gone for a different criminal, not the one that shot and missed endless times, managed to accost his target, and soon the criminal had joined his peers in the back of the police van. Realizing that they had done a good job barring the botch up of leaving the criminal's car unattended and the embarrassment of their flying squad colleague missing his target hopelessly, the police left the scene, taking with them the suspects and the car they were driving in. No, wait, it's not over yet. At that point, members of the community suspected that the criminals that had escaped could not be far. And they were right. Soon, he was spotted to be hiding between corrugated iron shakes behind one of the houses. He was apprehended. And true to how things are done in this neck of the woods, members of the community laid a few claps, kicks, insults, and spat at the criminal. Bamkibubutleva, as we say, loosely translated, whipping the smart ass out of him. The next part cannot be scripted, so wait for it. Not even Martin Scorsese could ever write this part. Soon, a Joburg Metropolis minibus came by. You know, one of those that are always on standby at roadblocks with the sole duty of ferrying traffic fine offenders to the nearest police station. A responsible member of the community flagged the Metropolis minibus down. The cops were reluctant to stop, though. They slowed down but kept on driving even when they could see something wrong was underway. But finally, our fearless cops stopped. Yet miraculously, less than a minute later, they quietly drove off, leaving residents to execute a citizen's arrest. Realizing that it is in their hands, the residents duly walked the suspect to the police station some 400 meters away. And thus, another Soweto Sunday came past. And that, my friends, concludes this chapter of Taking the Rams by the Horns. Please subscribe to the channel and spread the word. Please follow us on Twitter at Rams by the Horns and at Soweto Live. Until next week, goodbye and God bless.